Thank you so much, choir. Thank you so much, Shannon, for every week. What a special time that is to hear the words from these anthems that you share. Thank you so much. I'm a little more put together now than I was down there, and I do want to say a couple more things about today and what's going on. I am just beyond words humbled and honored to be a part of this special service today and enter into this wonderful covenant, and to be in ministry with you. And I don't know if you realize it or not, but I'm going to spend the next years trying to convince you. You are extremely special people, and you are. You are amazing people. This is an amazing church beyond maybe even anything you really understand and recognize. The first time Rhonda and I walked in and sat down beside the stained glass window for J.D. and Emma Albright, we knew this was something special. This was a special place that God had brought us to. And we're just so excited that we can come and be a part and minister with you in this community. I've always said, and I know I've said it before here in some venue in this church, that every church has to decide what kind of church you're going to be. Just like every individual has to decide that, every church has to decide that. You have to decide, are we just going to be a chapel? Or are we going to be a mission? A chapel is a nice, wonderful, warm, comfortable place to be where you kind of take care of each other and love each other, but you don't really look much past the stained glass windows. Well, I'm so thankful to be a part of a church that's caring for each other, but also this great mission, this great understanding of what can be done and what God can do on the other side of these stained glass windows for those who need to know Jesus. And that's number one. Those who need to know who Jesus is, but also those who have other types of special needs. I was visiting with somebody this past week, and I told them, we were talking about this service and talking about what was going to happen today, and I told them, I said, in the future, this church may not look like it looked when Ralph Jones was here. It may not. It may not look like it looked when Paul Lane was here. It may not even look like what it looked like when Travis Russell was here. And that's okay, because my hope is that when people see First Baptist Church, when people see this light in this community, that they're not going to see, oh, that's the place where Chris Howe's pastor. They're going to see, that's the place where God lives. That's the place where people can feel safe to come and find help, safe in their brokenness, which we all are, safe in this understanding of failure and brokenness that we can have in our lives, and knowing that this is a place they can come to be loved and respected unconditionally, to be forgiven unconditionally, to find hope and to find some love that they desperately need, someone just to give them a hug and say, it's going to be okay. That's the kind of place I hope history will write that this place is, and it already is in so many ways, but even more can become as we minister together in this community. A good friend of mine told me a story just not too couple of, maybe a couple, 3 weeks ago, and it's such a special story I wanted to share it with you. It's the story of a man named Bill. Bill was a man who died. He had gone to heaven. He was standing at the gate there with Peter. And he kind of emerged there with Peter, and he said, wow, I'm actually in heaven. And Peter said to him, hold on, not so fast there, buckaroo. You're not in heaven yet. You're just at the gate. There are some rules here, and you have to do some things in order to get through the gate and to get into heaven. And Bill said, oh, okay, well, what do I have to do? Peter said, well, you've got to spell a word. And Bill said, okay, what word? What word do I need to spell? And Peter said, doesn't matter, any word. Just spell a word. Bill thought for just a second, and Bill said, okay, L-O-V-E, love. Peter said, perfect. Enter into your eternity. Enter into heaven. Welcome to be here. Bill walks in. A few minutes later, Peter comes back to Bill. And Peter says to Bill, Bill, I've got some things I need to take care of over here, and I can't man the gate right now. Would you mind doing that for me for a little while? And Bill said, well, no, I don't mind, but I don't know what to do. And Peter said, look, you just got to promise me you'll not leave the post. promise me you'll stand at the gate and promise me you're going to do everything that I did when you showed up. If someone shows up, you welcome them, you have them spell a word, and you allow them to come into heaven if they're able to do that. Spell a word, any word. Bill said, well, okay, I guess I can handle that. I can do that. So Bill was standing at the gates for a little while, and here comes this dude named Fred. Now, on earth, Fred was Bill's neighbor, and not a very good one. Fred and Bill didn't get along. Bill hated Fred. Bill despised Fred. Fred was the guy who threw trash on Bill's lawn, who let his dog go do his business on Bill's lawn. You know, that was Fred. Bill hated Fred. Fred walks up to the gates. Bill says, Fred, what are you doing here? He says, well, I don't know. I think I had a heart attack, and I just can't believe it. I'm in heaven. Bill said, not so quick, Buckaroo. You're not through the gate yet. We have rules around here, and there's something you have to do in order to get through the gate. And Fred said, well, what's that? And Bill said, well, you have to spell a word. Fred said, okay, what word? Bill thought for a minute or two, and Bill said, Czechoslovakia. I don't care who you are, that one's funny. We're not real good at keeping promises, are we? We don't do a very good job at keeping our promises. We rationalize our promises. We rationalize that maybe we'll keep a half promise. We'll rationalize that maybe it's a promise that we really didn't mean it. We don't really need to keep that promise, especially to keep Fred out of heaven. We don't need to keep that promise. But promises are one of those things that once you break them, you can't repair them. Once you break a promise, it's broken. You can't go back and re-promise a promise. Once it's done, it's done. Promises are very important that we share with each other in our lives. And it's one thing that we tend to sometimes break promises to each other. It's another thing that we can tend to break our promises with God. In our fallibleness and in our sinful ways that we can tend to have in our lives. It's another thing when we make a promise to God and don't fulfill it. Don't keep that promise. When you think about it, especially the amount of promises that God has made to us. I learned a long time ago that promises can be positive, promises can be negative. And, you know, the results of a promise can be a good thing for you, or the results can be possibly a bad thing. I can't tell you the number of times I heard my daddy yelling across the house to me saying something like, if you slam that back door again, then I promise I'm going to jerk a knot in your head. Something like that. I made the mistake one time. My mama said to me, she's going to jerk a knot in my head. And I went to my mama and said, Mama, how in the world do you jerk a knot in somebody's head? Tell me. I can't remember what happened after that. It wasn't pleasant for me. God makes us lots of promises. God has made promises to his people, to his children, throughout history. He's developed these covenants, these promises. Now, some promises are straight up promises. Promises like, I'll be with you always. Promises like, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Promises like, I'll never send a flood again. And, oh, by the way, here's a rainbow to remind you that I'll never send a flood again. But then God has these other types of promises, kind of like what you call if-then promises. If you do this, then I will do that. And the Bible is just laced with those kinds of promises that God gives to us. Romans chapter 10, verse 9, a part of this Roman road of salvation, it says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. It's a promise that if you do these things, God will do this for you. Matthew 6:14, if you forgive others their trespasses, then God will forgive you. But you have to do this in order to receive this. In that promise. One of the greatest promises that we talk about all the time, that we even have a ministry named after it, is 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sins, I'll heal their land. My eyes will be open, my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. If we will do these things, God says, then here's what I'll do for you. Here's how I'll bless you. It's kind of an if-then kind of promise, and that's what constitutes a covenant, sort of like what we did down here just a few minutes ago. We entered into a covenant relationship together. I promised that I would do certain things. You promised that you would also do certain things. But this is serious business. Promises and covenants with God are serious. And God takes them very seriously. He established these things throughout history. And if you start going through the Bible and just looking for these promises, looking for these covenants, you'll find them just all over the Bible. Now, I didn't Google this one to see how many promises are in the Bible, but I can imagine there's thousands of them. But he even made these very special covenants with some very special people in the Scriptures. He made a covenant with Adam. He made a covenant with Noah. He made a covenant with Abraham. Your descendants will be like the stars in the sky, remember? He made a covenant with Moses. He made a covenant with David. He made a covenant to the Israelites. I'll lead you. I've got this promised land for you that I'm going to take you to. God uses these covenants. God uses these promises. But the problem is we are just terrible at keeping them. And so with them. People haven't changed in 3,000 years. They broke every covenant made. They broke every promise they made with God. And it got to the point that God got so fed up with it that God said, oh, okay, I'm done with you. Go into exile. I'm going to turn you over to the Babylonians and you can just be in exile for about 70 years. God gets tired of us breaking these promises. God got tired of the Israelites breaking their promises. But then, even after all of that, even after breaking promise after promise after promise to God, God goes to this person named Jeremiah, this prophet. And he says to Jeremiah, share this with my people. Share this with my children. Look at what it says, Jeremiah 29, verse 10. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. Even though they had been so disobedient, even though they were so broken, even though they had just failed in every covenant and promise they had made, God says, I'm going to bring you back. Verse 11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. In the middle of all this brokenness, in the middle of all these promises broken, God plops down this wonderful thing called grace. He reveals His amazing grace. He reveals His amazing faithfulness to His children. And He says to them, I love you, and even though you have broken promise after promise after promise, I'm still going to be there. I'm still going to help you out of that brokenness that you're in. You see, we're really not good at keeping promises. But thanks be to God, He is. God is good at keeping His promises. And thankfully, our brokenness and our unfaithfulness doesn't diminish the greatness of God's faithfulness. That as broken as we can be, we can't touch the great grace and faithfulness of God. Thankfully, He comes to us in our brokenness and He says, I still love you. I still forgive you. This is grace. And it's happened to all of us. I'm sure if I asked for a raise of hands, and I'm not going to, is there anybody here that's never broken a promise to God? If you raised your hand, I need to talk to you later in my office because I need to figure out how you did that. We've all done it. We're all the same. A very special person in this church said to me one time that she was told one time that she was a cracked pot. But it's true. We are. We're all vessels that have some serious cracks in them. Some of us are vessels that have just absolutely just broken all to pieces at times. But then there's God's grace that takes it and puts it back together. When I think about this scripture in Jeremiah, I think about many years ago, and I think about this service that we've participated in today. I think about that time years ago when I found myself so broken. When I found myself involved in an abusive and destructive marriage, and promises got broken. When I found myself not able to do the ministry that I had hoped I would be able to do, losing opportunity for ministry, losing the time that I could have had in ministry because promises had gotten broken. And in the very depths of that darkness, when it was as dark as it could possibly be, and when I was as broken as I could have ever possibly have been in my life, God kept taking me to Jeremiah chapter 29. And he said to me, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. And he did. He said, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. And he did. He said, then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And he does. I want you to know that this all means to me more than words could ever possibly do justice to or words could ever express. But this covenant today that we have established brings me full circle in a way you don't understand, full circle, and fulfills God's promises to me. That in brokenness, there's always grace. My prayer is that we'll take this opportunity, you and I, for the years to come as we minister together, that we'll take this opportunity to fulfill our promise to be the church, to really be the church as we should be, that we'll promise ourselves to always be there for each other and always be willing to extend that same grace to each other that God extends to us. That we'll promise ourselves that children in Graham, North Carolina, are going to have some food. They're going to have some basic clothing. They're going to have some school supplies. They're going to have a safe place to come and learn. That we'll promise ourselves that people of Graham, North Carolina, are going to hear about Jesus. Not Chris Howe. Jesus. They're going to hear the message of this grace, and they're going to see a light over at 224 North Main Avenue. And let's never forget, and I think we can tend to sometimes, let's never forget the power of the starfish story. The power of that story that started everything that we're doing as ministry in this community. That it's not about how many. It's about that one today. That's what it's really about. Because you know, they're broken too. No different from me. They're broken also. But where there's brokenness in that way, God's proven to me there's always grace. Bow with me and let's have a prayer together. Father, what a wonderful service. What a humbling experience. Certainly, God, as I look in my own life and see myself, and I see certainly I am not worthy to be standing here. That the only reason I am is because that my yes is through Christ. My yes is through who Jesus Christ is in this world. My yes is through who Jesus Christ is as the one who came, lived, and died, and is again. Father, thank you for our church, for our ministry, for our future. May we never forget the power of the starfish. May we never forget the power of your promises, the power of your covenants. And when we fail, may we never forget the grace that is so amazing and your faithfulness, which is always so great in our lives. Father, if there be one here today who doesn't understand those promises that you have for them, may they take them into their lives today by accepting you. May we rededicate ourselves to keeping promises to you. May we rededicate ourselves to understanding the great promises you've made to us. And may we not wallow in our brokenness, but bask in your grace. Thank you, Father. Thank you for our church and for each other. Thank you for being here with us always. And we pray in Christ's name. Amen.